You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. What he hasn't done is make up his mind. What he has done is going to blow your mind. That's on the way. Meanwhile, his BFF waits patiently. The first shoe could drop any minute. We've got the very latest on number 17. And then, will the last one out the door please shut off the lights in Cleveland? What does Landry's latest say about the state of the Browns? All that and more as we get up with you on this Wednesday starting right now. Oh, take a look at this. Graziano is here, and it's been a minute since we've said hello to Chris Canty. Welcome back, big fella.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, G.
The size discrepancy on the two sides of this table is quite remarkable as we speak. To balance it out, we've got Robert Griffin III, RG3, in the house, and here we go. We know the story this morning involves that man, Aaron Rodgers, and his latest, and it's fascinating. So let's go back over the last month or so. His top-seeded Packers held to just 10 points in a home loss to the 49ers in the divisional round of the playoffs, dropping Rodgers to 4-0, I should say, in his playoff career against San Francisco. Then he won his second straight MVP, and he's the co-favorite with Patrick Mahomes to win it next year. So all that side of it is going pretty well. Then he caused a stir on Monday when he sent out a lengthy Instagram post thanking his teammates and many others in all sorts of effusive prose. Then he went on Pat McAfee yesterday with the world listening with bated breath, and here is what he said.
The offseason, I feel like, kind of, you know, begins when your season ends on paper, but it really starts to begin once the Super Bowl is over. You start to, you know, think about the next season and, for me, my future. And so there's been, you know, some contemplative days. But I wanted to have meetings with Brian and Russ and Matt. And I would say the meetings were much different than they've been in the past.
Oh.
In a positive way.
Oh.
Oh.
And that there was some real honest conversations. But I am looking forward to making the decision and moving forward. I think it's best for me. It's best for the team. It's best for all parties involved. Let's just get this behind us.
Okay, so let's get this behind us. So Dan Graziano, my insider extraordinaire, the first thing we should explain.
Well, there's no date that he has to wait for, right? He can make the decision anytime he wants. Like, he's saying, I look forward to making this decision and getting it behind us. That's up to you, man. Like you can just decide to do that. So I don't know what exactly it is that he's waiting for, other than just sort of more attention as the days and weeks go on, which seems to be something that fuels him. But, yeah, look, he's forcing the Packers to wait. There was actually a deadline this week. There were four big contracts of theirs that voided on Monday, and if they had been able to do extensions with some of those players before the voids happened, that would have helped them manage their salary cap. To our knowledge, they did not do any of those deals, so it actually has already had an effect, and as he continues to delay, it'll have even more of one.
So I thought that was an important place to begin before we start getting into opinion, just to make sure everyone's aware. Well, he's not moving as quickly as he could, because technically he could have already moved if he wanted to. Canty, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Graz on this one. Co-signed Ricci to everything that he said, and I spent over a decade in the National Football League. It didn't take the Super Bowl being played for me to start huddling up with my family and the people in my circle to figure out what I wanted to do with my football future. But beyond that, Graz, the organization has bent over backwards the last year to try to make Aaron Rodgers happy. They've acquiesced to him at every single turn when it comes to the concession on the length of the contract, trading for Randall Cobb, backing him with the whole immunized scandal, and then bringing back his quarterback coach, Tom Clements, and then saying out loud to everybody this offseason, we're willing to go all in on Aaron Rodgers, including voidable years, restructuring contracts to bring back all the core players that we need so you can compete at a high level. And yet, you still haven't made up your mind? That's the part of the game that doesn't make sense.
When he says the conversations have been more positive, what he means is they're kissing my rear end more than they used to, and that feels good.
And I think that, look, for special people and special players, special accommodations have been made. He's hardly the first one, although this is about as public as we've ever seen it go. RG3, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit the nail right on the head. Aaron Rodgers wants to be a player GM, right? He wants to be involved in personnel decisions. He wants them to talk openly and honest with him. And what we got from that meeting was 45 minutes of mostly a waste of time, but he said that they had those conversations. So I don't understand. I'm with you guys. Why is he not just making the decision so it doesn't continue to drag out? It's causing the Packers to have to wait on other in other areas and how they're going to make moves. I mean, Rodgers is in full-blown zero dark flirty mode, right? He's flirting with going, flirting with staying, flirting with the hearts of millions of fans out there. But for his teammates' sake and Green Bay, he just needs to make a decision so we can all move on and not have to talk about this every single day.
And I think that's such an important point because people are going to hear this and go, oh, you guys in the media just want what you want. No, this is great for us. I hope he takes all summer again like he did last year. Yeah. It's fantastic. The people he's messing with are the Packers and the fans of the Packers. The longer he drags this out, the tougher it is on that group of people.
I don't disagree with the word you're saying. I think someone should say aloud the words. He is hardly the first person who has liked the attention. He just has a more unique ability to garner it publicly than most people do. Lots of other people have tried to do stuff like this. We just didn't care as much.
He's not even the first Packers quarterback to do stuff like this.
That's a good point. This is like a Brett Favre redux, and it is fascinating because it was Rodgers who was on the other side of it at that time. Now, let's bring in one of the people who are waiting to see how this thing goes, and that is his favorite teammate and his best teammate, and that's Davante Adams. The window for NFL teams to franchise tag players opened yesterday. And one of the biggest questions is how this will work with Davante Adams. Rodgers talked about that yesterday and how he thinks the Packers should approach the situation.
I understand also today, I believe, might be the first day to tag players. And, you know, in Green Bay, there's this one specific guy who's like the best guy in the entire league at what he does. You know, whereas like, I think number 17, you might have heard of him. So there's, you know, there's obviously you know, the opportunity to tag him at some point, which, you know, I don't think, you know, both parties probably want that done. They'd rather get a long-term extension done. But I understand that's a part of the decision, and I talked about, you know, not wanting to drag this thing out.
Okay, so let's get to that. He said both sides don't want this to go to a franchise tag ultimately. So what does that mean?
Well, I think he may be trying to help his guy get a contract, right? So they have until March 8th to franchise him. That would be a $20.145 million cap hit instantly as soon as they do that. If they do a contract extension, they can structure it in a way that is easier on this year's cap. So it would be in the Packers' best interest to get that done if they want him around. Obviously, it would be in Davante Adams' best interest, and that is what Aaron Rodgers is referring to. What he wasn't clear about is whether he's waiting to see how that's resolve before making a decision. He hinted that that's the case, but he didn't come out explicitly and say it. But it is possible he's waiting to see how that situation resolves itself before telling the Packers what he's going to do.
And you see on your screen just how good they've been together. Only Steve Young and Jerry Rice as quarterback-receiver combo have ever had more consecutive seasons as first-team All-Pros. Go ahead, Canty.
No, I'm thinking about what Graz is just saying. The two are inextricably linked, and there's no way that Davante Adams is going to want to hang around Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to want to be there. So if Aaron Rodgers' goal in all of this is to help his wide receiver angle for a new contract, then go ahead and give the organization a lean on what direction you're going to go so they can determine his football future and get a long-term deal hammered out. But the longer this drags out, Aaron Rodgers puts other veterans on that team at risk because there are other guys that could potentially be cap casualties. And those guys, if they're going to be cut, would like to know sooner rather than later so they can get a jump on free agency. So in the post a couple of days ago on IG, he talks about this attitude of gratitude and being grateful for all of his teammates. Well, show those guys in that locker room how grateful you are. Make up your damn mind so they can determine their football future as well.
I was waiting for that. RG3, go. How about the Davante Adams of it all?
Hey, man, I love Canty's enthusiasm and anger towards this whole situation. But the bottom line is I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they're looking at Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams as a package deal, right? These two guys are dynamic together. They're what you call force multipliers, right? They're better together than they will be apart. That doesn't mean they can't go star for different teams. You know, we've even heard that Davante Adams would love to go and link back up with his old quarterback from college, Derek Carr, in Vegas. But together, these two guys are extremely dynamic. And to me, what he was saying was it seems like it's going to be a long-term deal for Davante Adams if Rodgers stays. And if he goes, they're going to part ways with Davante Adams. And I just don't like that approach because he's such a dynamic player. And why wouldn't you want to have one of the best players at his position on your team?
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know. They talked about a long-term deal with Adams last year. Didn't come close. And they haven't really had substantive discussions on it, from what I understand, since the season ended. So it may be that we're not anywhere near a long-term deal with Davante Adams.
Look, the Packers have not been a rebuilding team for 30 years. Yeah. 30 years, because when you have Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, you have a chance to win every single season. So I guess the question is, if Rodgers does move on, let's say we're living in a world where Rodgers either retires or is the quarterback of the Broncos next year, and Jordan Love is the quarterback of the Packers, are they in a full-fledged rebuild at that point? Because if so, you're not spending all this money on Davante Adams.
Well, I don't think you should be, because you have a defense that's capable of contending at a championship level. I mean, you're talking about a top 10 unit over there, even though they fell short in the postseason. It really wasn't about the defense's fault. That was about the offense not being able to score a touchdown.
Right.
So I don't look at it as a situation where Green Bay has to go into a rebuild, but their identity is going to be a lot different, because they've been led for the past three decades by high quarterback play, and it'll look a lot different in terms of their formula for success.
Yeah.
But they're also in the NFC North, which is a relatively low bar to clear. So even without Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay can compete next year.
Look, they've had first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback play for 30 consecutive seasons, basically, with the exception of a couple of injury years that Rodgers had. So RG3, how about it? Jordan Love was a first-round pick 2 years ago. He's been there 2 years in the same system, same offense, same coach. Once upon a time, Aaron Rodgers was ready to take the baton and run with it in similar circumstances. Are they rebuilding? I guess what I'm asking you is, if Rodgers is gone, does it make sense to keep Davante Adams on a long-term deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense to keep Davante Adams on a long-term deal because, like I said, he's one of the best players at his position, and you don't let the type of production and the player that he is walk out the door. I mean, this season, what, 123 receptions for 1,553 yards and 11 touchdowns? I don't care what you got to pay the guy in. Pay him in Bitcoin, pay him in CryptoKitties, NFTs, who knows? He's a guy you want on your roster because he makes your team better. And then when it comes to Jordan Love, like, we don't know what is there, just like we didn't know what was there with Aaron Rodgers when he was, you know, became the starter after Brett Favre. They've had 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play, like you said, Greeny, but we don't know if that's going to be Jordan Love or not, but you got to give the kid a chance. Just because Aaron Rodgers leaves doesn't mean the Packers are now in a rebuild.
Well, actually, let's stick on this a minute here, Julian, if you will, and we'll come back to the other part of it, because that is an interesting piece of this to me. Mike Tannenbaum will tell us, he'll be on with us a little bit later in this hour. He was the general manager of the Jets when they traded for Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. And he has said many times openly, the Packers were clearly dealing from a position of strength because they knew what they had sitting behind Brett Favre. Look at the way the Packers have handled this entire Aaron Rodgers situation. What does that tell us about what they think they have in Jordan Love?
Well, they don't have conviction that Jordan Love is ready to step in right now and be the guy. And it's going to be a considerable drop-off from where Aaron Rodgers was to what Jordan Love is going to be his first couple of years. Doesn't mean he can't be the future franchise quarterback. It's just not going to be the same level of play. So I think when we have the conversation about what happens with Davante Adams, it's not independent of Aaron Rodgers, because everybody has to understand Davante Adams might not want to sign up to play with Jordan
yeah,
Love.
Right.
Davante Adams might want to go somewhere else where he has a chance to contend at a championship level and somebody that's more established at the quarterback position. So I think that's something to keep in mind when we're having this conversation about what the Packers should do with Davante.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we can forget about what they say. Yeah. You just pay attention to what they do. We will see what they do on this thing going forward.
Well, they'll franchise Davante Adams, other than a surprise long-term deal in the next couple weeks. Because even if then Rodgers retires, we've seen situations the last couple years where teams traded franchise player, right? Franchise tag and then trade him later in the offseason. So they'll hold him in place because he's an important player. And because if Rodgers' situation is unresolved, they want to make sure that they're in the best position to succeed if he does come back. So, yeah, Jordan Love, drafted 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they didn't have a real offseason. His development may not be where they hoped it would be at this point, and I don't think they expected Aaron Rodgers to win two straight MVP awards in the meantime either.
All right, we will have much more to say about this as we go, and a little bit later, Julian, we'll do the later. We'll save the Pachacharma Clems for a little bit later in the program today. We'll explain exactly what it is that Aaron Rodgers has been doing while he hasn't been making up his mind. At the minimum, it'll fascinate you. In the meantime, we have other sports stories today, including another star receiver who wants out of Cleveland. Why one person here thinks that might actually be good for Baker and the Browns. You'll hear it on the way. Plus, if Russell Wilson is indeed moving on from Seattle, we have the one team that needs to be ringing his phone off the hook. We'll tell you who that is coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Busy morning in the NFL. Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up. What's going on with Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, still no resolution on this situation between the Chiefs and Eric Bieniemy, whose contract is up. There have been some discussions about bringing him back. It was supposed to be a meeting with him and Andy Reid this week. To this point, no resolution. Unclear if that meeting has even taken place. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, potential for Bieniemy to be elsewhere next year until we hear otherwise from the Chiefs. Brian Flores, the former Miami Dolphins coach, now on the Pittsburgh Steelers staff, tells HBO's Real Sports he declined to sign his separation agreement with the Dolphins because it would have, quote, silenced me. The Dolphins disputed that. Flores' agents then tweeted a picture of the contract and the language that included a non-disparagement clause and an agreement not to sue. So obviously we have not heard the end of this situation. And another situation that came up more closer to on the field yesterday, Jarvis Landry, the Browns wide receiver, with some social media posts expressing some dissatisfaction with his situation with the team. Landry, a potential cap casualty. There are quite a number of these around the league every year this time, scheduled to make about $15 million this year, maybe a little bit more than the Browns want to pay him. So look out for the potential for the Browns moving on from Jarvis Landry here in the coming days and weeks.
All right, I want to follow up on a few of those, including Flores, we'll get to later. But let's get to Landry here, because we touched on this. These were coming out as we spoke on the show yesterday. Landry tweeting, I put the ball in Cleveland's court by telling them I'd like to stay, but if not, I'm confident enough in myself to be a better, healthy me this year, moving forward to helping do my part in winning a championship elsewhere. So let's dive into this a minute here, because there's two sides of this. There's the team he'd be leaving behind, and there's the team he'd be going to. Robert Griffin III, how does what happened with his best friend, Odell Beckham Jr., inform what's going on here with Jarvis Landry?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Oh, I mean, I think it's exactly why he's having these feelings right now. And we got to give Jarvis Landry his credit. He's been instrumental since he got to Cleveland in helping them change the culture and get to more of their winning ways that they've had as of late. But he also has eyes, and he saw what his day one brother OBJ did, went out to L.A., won a Super Bowl, scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl after everybody had said he was done, he couldn't be a number one wide receiver anymore, he just can't get it done. So Jarvis sees that, and he wants a similar story for himself, and I don't think he quite sees that in Cleveland. He doesn't want to take a pay cut to stay, and he thinks that he can be a better fit in other places, and I think he's right. I think he could be a great fit in a team with a team like Kansas City. I think he would open things up even more for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and obviously give Patrick Mahomes another chain-moving wide receiver on third downs, which really hurt them in the playoffs this year. So I think for Jarvis, that's where his head is at.
My goodness, Hembo, can you put that stat back up there again, though, that you had a moment ago? Because that's really a damning number. As Robert was talking there, we've talked a lot about how Odell had so little production comparatively when he was playing in Cleveland to what he immediately had. And look at those numbers with Landry, who is, if not a 1A receiver in the NFL, obviously a very good player. What does all of this say about the Browns and Baker Mayfield?
Well, it says Baker Mayfield is in a prove-it year. He's going to be under a lot of pressure given all of the things that took place last season. All of the noise around that team, Baker Mayfield saying that there was dysfunction within the organization, the rift between OBJ, in which Cleveland sided with their franchise quarterback, Baker Mayfield's wife taking shots at the team's toughness. I'm pretty sure that didn't play well with guys in the locker room. And then the locker room seemingly being split about how they felt with Odell Beckham Jr. being released. So I think this is a situation now where you question the intangibles of Baker Mayfield, but I think you also have to question the fit of Baker Mayfield in Kevin Stefanski's offense, because over the past two seasons, he's 26th in QBR with dropback passing. And that doesn't necessarily mend well with Kevin Stefanski's football philosophy and wanting the quarterback to be under center with a run-oriented attack. So there's a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield, and Jarvis Landry being released this offseason puts even more scrutiny on him.
Yeah, even without Jarvis Landry, there's still a lot of really good players on that team, Dan. So as we start approaching this quarterback carousel where guys are going to be moving around, should we consider Cleveland a team that might be looking to bring in maybe someone who could compete with Baker? Are they all in on another season of Mayfield?
I don't think all in. I think, but it's probably more than 80% in, right? Like, I think the most likely scenario is Baker Mayfield's their quarterback next year. They feel like he was not healthy this year and will be better once he is. But the questions about receiver are significant, right? Odell's not there. It doesn't look like Jarvis Landry will be there. So what can they get at wide receiver? Stefanski inherited both those guys. So I mean, for whether it's on him or not, maybe if they weren't fits, right, then maybe they go out and get guys that are, and that puts Baker in a position to succeed from their standpoint. But a lot of pressure on, first of all, a lot of pressure on the team to do that. And then a lot of pressure on Baker to make it work with only 1 year left on his contract.
And quickly, there was one other team. RG3 was talking about the Chiefs. There was one other you had your eye on that would be a good spot for Landry.
I love him with the New England Patriots. That's an offense that has a lot of throws in between the numbers. And we saw that Jarvis Landry thrives in that role, even going back to his time in Miami. So he's a catch and run guy. Bill Belichick loves those guys. We've seen them have a lot of success with slot receivers. He would be added to that roster and instantly be the best receiver on that team.
Yeah, that's a fascinating fit to me. Hey, very quickly, I want to show you some eye candy. Kent, you played some basketball, right?
Just a little bit, Greeny. Just a little bit.
Arizona high school basketball. This is Mesquite against St. Mary's. Spot in the state final on the line. Take a look at this. Final seconds. We got an inbound pass. We got a steal. We got a long third. Oh, we got a game-winning bucket. What do you think of that?
That's pretty nice. That's impressive right there. It doesn't get much better than that right there. Three-quarter court shot to win the game in high school? Oh, he's going to be the man all week long.
Mesquite upsetting St. Mary's to advance to the state finals in Arizona, and there was much rejoicing. All right, coming up, the outgoing Steelers general manager is backing Mason Rudolph at quarterback. We'll tell you why Pittsburgh should be thinking bigger next. All All right, we're back, and we are talking about the Steel City QB market. The Steelers need a quarterback for the first time in a generation. Chris Canty, let me start with you. If Russell Wilson were to be the Steelers quarterback next year, how many games would they win?
They're going to win 12 games, Greeny. And this year, they were 9-7-1. I think Russell Wilson is good for about 2.5 games and wins above replacement of Ben Roethlisberger. I know that's a baseball thing, but I'm going to apply it to football. Sorry. But Russell Wilson, before this year, didn't have a losing season. So it seems like it will make sense to pair him with the coach that's never had a losing season in 15 years.
I like the way you're thinking. Graziano, how about if Mitchell Trubisky were to be the quarterback in Pittsburgh next year? How many games would they win?
I'll give him 10, number on his back, right? I mean, look, I believe in Mike Tomlin. He didn't – whatever Roethlisberger was doing this year is something that I think a number of people could approximate or improve on. Trubisky has had winning seasons when he was a starter in Chicago. I can see the Steelers being a double-digit win team with him.
I'm 100% with you. The problems Trubisky had in Chicago had less to do with him than with others around him. RG3, if Mason Rudolph is their quarterback next year, how many games will they win?
Well, a lot of people will be mad, but I think they'll win 8 games. You know, not quite the 10 or 12 that my other guy said, but Mason Rudolph is more known for getting hit in the head with a helmet than he is for his quarterback play right now. But if he wins the starting job, they don't bring in a veteran. He could play better than Big did with the 22 touchdowns and 3,740 yards that he threw for. But if they don't fix that offensive line, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback. It won't be pretty in Pittsburgh.
All right, now, so I want you to hear what Kevin Colbert said. Again, he is the outgoing Steelers general manager. By that, I mean he's retiring after the draft. And he said, if we started a season today, Mason would be our starter. We're excited to see where that can go. He's 5-4-1 as an NFL starter, albeit in a backup kind of role, but we're excited to see what is next for Mason. So two things we can say about that. One of them is, Jeremy Fowler told us yesterday that when Mason Rudolph came out in the draft, that Colbert had a first-round grade on him, so he likes him. The second is, that's the kind of thing that you say in February, and it doesn't necessarily mean that anyone is holding you to it whatsoever. So, Chris Canty, as you observe the Steelers situation, what should they do to replace Big Ben at quarterback right now?
I think they should take a big swing at one of those quarterbacks that could potentially be on the market for trade, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I think you owe it to yourself to go after one of those guys because of the caliber of defense that you have when those guys are healthy. T.J. Watt, Defensive Player of the Year, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tua coming back, Minkah Fitzpatrick. You have a lot of difference makers on that side of the ball. Try to balance that out with an offense and what you can do with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. That team can contend in the AFC, not just their division, but they could make some noise in the conference.
You know, we've thought so much about Russell Wilson. I hadn't thought of Rodgers until you just said it. I am remembering, and Stick, maybe we can find the video for later in the show today, that moment that Rodgers and Tomlin had on the field last, right? That
Green Bay,
moment of respect and a little wink and a little like, they like each other, those two guys. So it doesn't seem as far-fetched as you might otherwise think. RG3, what should they be doing? What should the Steelers be thinking about?
Well, the Steelers should go get Russell Wilson, in my opinion. I like the Aaron Rodgers piece there by Canty. I just don't know if the short-term fix is what the Steelers are really looking for. You know, Russell could play another 5 to 10 years if he wanted to. So I think that's the way they need to go. And if they don't do that, they need to get Kenny with it. Go get Kenny Pickett from Pitt. He's right there in your own backyard. Draft him. Let him compete with Rudolph and Haskins and see what you have. But for me, like I said, they have to figure out a way to fix their offensive line. And on defense, for as many great players as they have to buckle down and stop the run. That is Steeler ball, and they've gotten away from that. And they got to get back to it if they want to be successful.
To be clear, Kenny Pickett, for those who don't know, he's a kid who started 49 games in college. So he would be the most pro-ready of the rookie quarterbacks now. If you're looking at that, you bring him in, let him compete with Mason Rudolph. That's one way of looking at it. How do you see this thing, Graziano?
I think they'll play on that veteran market. I don't know if they'll be able to. I mean, maybe they can convince Russell Wilson and Seattle to trade him to them. But I think, you know, they do have the elite defensive front. They have the first-round running back. They have good wide receivers. I think they need to, obviously, the offensive line is a significant problem they're going to have to fix no matter who the quarterback is. But I think they owe it to themselves and their fans and the fact that they're a constant contender. They're one of these never-rebuild teams. Tomlin's never had a losing season. I think they need to try and get as good as they can at that position.
And look, I'm in no way diminishing the significance of an offensive line. They desperately need one. But it is worth reminding everyone, the Bengals might have had the worst offensive line we've ever seen, and they made it to the Super Bowl this year. If you have the right pieces in place, and look, they've got a bunch of really good players in Cincinnati, so do the Steelers. I'm told we have it. That's a great job by the staff. Just remember this moment for from Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin on the field during that game this year. You know, they tried to catch him quick with a timeout, all that kind of stuff. And look at that. He's got a little look of respect. Tomlin's got a little look back. And come on. Are you telling me those aren't two guys who were thinking, you know, we could team up some days and be pretty good with each other? Yeah, look at that. They love it. What do you think, Canty? That to me looks like a match made in heaven.
I mean, you usually get dinner first before you see those kind of smiles. But, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's something that absolutely makes sense. If they can make it work out, then go after Aaron Rodgers. I think it puts Aaron Rodgers in a situation where he can compete at a really high level, and he can navigate around the issues on the offensive line because Green Bay's offensive line was banged up this season. Russell Wilson has been one of the most sacked quarterbacks since he's coming into the league. He's found a way to be able to work around it. So it's not as if those two quarterbacks can't elevate the play of everybody around them. And with the pieces that the Pittsburgh Steelers have in place, it just seems like it makes sense to be very aggressive this offseason in trying to go at the top of the market when it comes to quarterback play.
Look, I have no idea how realistic this is. Probably not at all. If Aaron Rodgers became the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, depending on what they'd have to give up, you'd have to say they are right there with anybody in the AFC.
Could you give up too much, Greeny?
Well,
could you give up too much right now?
I guess I just mean as far as what it would diminish their chances to compete with everybody else. I mean, Rodgers is not a magician, but he's as close to it as we get, right? He's as close as we get. All of a sudden, we've been talking about that division with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. I mean, you don't sneeze at Aaron Rodgers no matter who else is playing in the circumstance.
Yeah, I think if you're the Steelers, you have to think big, and I think you have to at least make a phone call and find out what your chances are on Rodgers, on Wilson. I mean, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, how available he's going to be, but I would certainly put him in a similar bucket in terms of high-end talent. And yeah, right here, right? Like, how many guys in the league do you think Aaron Rodgers thinks are as good as he is? Like, three? I mean, now you've got a chance to put him with a coach that may fit that description. I'd look into it.
That was a unique look of respect.
Wasn't it? Yes, it was.
That was a unique moment between those two extraordinarily accomplished individuals. Who signs up to see the two of them together next year? We'll see if they can do it. Speaking of all-time great individuals, the NBA is our next stop, and LeBron James. He certainly had an eventful All-Star weekend in Cleveland, which culminated with that shot to win the All-Star game. But as we head towards the stretch run of the season, his team has been the biggest disappointment in the sport by far. Oh, he was everybody's preseason favorite, right? Now they're ninth in the West, and they have the hardest remaining schedule amongst Western Conference teams. Our analytics say they have an 89% chance to make the play-in tournament, just a 28% chance to make the playoffs. And so, as we are about 2 days away from the start of the second half, ceremoniously speaking, of the NBA season, we bring in Jay Will across the hall from ESPN Radio with some bold predictions. And so all the eyes on LeBron. What does this second half look like as you look into the crystal ball for the Lakers?
Definitely doesn't look like my hands, because the complexion between my hands and my face are way off. But it's okay. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
You want my first prediction?
Please.
I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to the NBA Finals.
The NBA Finals?
I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to the NBA Finals. Go ahead and say it. I think the Memphis Grizzlies, let me say it again for you, are going to the NBA Finals. CP3 being out this year, 6 to 8 weeks with the hand injury. I know that the Golden State Warriors are absolutely stacked. But I'm telling you, Ja Morant, this team is 18-10 versus teams that are 500 or better.
Yeah.
I think the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be there when it counts down the stretch. Mark it down. I'm saying it right now.
Well, look, underline the word bold there, and that is an excellent prediction. And for those who haven't been paying attention, Memphis is a terrific team, but Phoenix has been so good. The injury is there. And Golden State, it has felt, I think in the eyes of many, like a two-horse race in the West between those two, but you've got a dark horse on the outside. I love it. Give me one more. How about the MVP?
I think Luka Doncic is a dark horse for the MVP. I know Joel Embiid. I know Nikola Jokic. I know Giannis is in that conversation. A lot of greats. But you can actually make a case for Luka. His last 10 games averaging 35, 12, and 10. They have the same record as the Philadelphia 76ers. And you talk about how he finishes down the stretch. I mean, look right now, man. Like, they're in a prime position to attack in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. And he's been having a heck of a season. They make some trades. They let go of Kristaps Porzingis. Opens up the floor. Mark Cuban has also said they've lost weight. He's lost 15 pounds. He's finally getting into playing conditioning. He is a guy that you have to pay attention down the stretch.
Yeah, it sounds like he listened to some of the criticism, and in a good way. He's got them fifth in the West. Quickly, how about the Lakers? What does their future look like the second half?
I think the Lakers will win the play-in game, but I see them having an early exit in this whole thing. And I just, look, I love LeBron James. I think he's one of the greatest players to ever live, to ever be on the planet, 1A, 1B. Whatever you want to argue with him and Michael Jordan, but I think not having AD with that injury, having Russell Westbrook that we're going to try to see buy into a different role for this team. I think they get through the play-in tournament, but I think they have an early exit once again in the playoffs.
You get out of the play-in, and you're looking at either Phoenix or Golden State most likely in the first round of the playoffs. All right, Jay Will, every day on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast.
I'm wearing a suit for you today.
You could not look better.
Can we get the complexion of the hands to match the face?
We're on it.
Thank you.
In the meantime, we've got college basketball coming your way tonight. Jay, you'll like this. The Sonic Blockbuster has your guys, Paolo Banchero and Duke, taking on Virginia 7 Eastern. Then you got number 6 Kentucky, taking on LSU at Rupp Arena. You can always watch both on the ESPN app. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers spoke for 45 minutes yesterday, but it was something he didn't say that grabbed our attention. We'll tell you what that was or wasn't as we continue next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Well, as we said, it's been a while since Chris Canty has been in here, so let's resurrect our game, Can He or Can't He? Let's start with this. Can Aaron Rodgers win a third consecutive MVP award? Can he or can't he?
Absolutely, he can, Greeny, and I expect him to if he stays with the Green Bay Packers. This is a guy that's playing at a really high level, and the pieces that they have around him in Green Bay, they're going to be reigning intact if he does decide he's going to run it back. Davante Adams will be there. That offensive line will be healthier. Aaron Jones in the backfield. I think he can.
All right, we'll talk more about him in a minute. Meanwhile, can the all-in Rams get back to the Super Bowl next year? Can he or can't he?
Oh, they can. Absolutely. The Rams are going to do it. And if you look at the competition in the NFC with no Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay, nobody really believing in the Dallas Cowboys, and the uncertainty in Green Bay, it seems like it's a less strong field when it comes to the competition. So as long as they can win their division, I could absolutely see a path where Matt Stafford and the crew run it back.
I like that. One more. Can Russell Wilson and the Seahawks make it work together next season? Can he or can't he?
No, they can't, Greeny. No. This is it. This is done. It's going to happen this offseason. Last year, it was prohibitive with their salary cap situation to move on from Russell Wilson. This year, it's not. They can trade him and save $11 million on the cap. It's just a matter of another team doing a dance and giving them the compensation that they would want in return for Russell Wilson's services.
All right. We will talk more about Russell as we go. I do want to circle back to Rodgers here, though, for the beginning of this. And as we saw yesterday, he went on the Pat McAfee show, said he's not made up his mind about his future. He had a lot of things to say on that show. He had, quote, more things to contemplate, but it won't be long before he decides whether to play in 2022. And if so, if that's going to be for the Packers. So there were a lot of things that he did say yesterday, but our Mike Tannenbaum was particularly interested in things he did not say. And we got Mike T ready to go with us this morning as well. Mike, thank you for getting up here. What caught your ear about Rodgers yesterday?
Greeny, he simply didn't say he was coming back. That's the easy decision. And he, if he loved everything he said he did about his teammates, the organization, his improvement with the front office, hey, I'm coming back. We're going to run it back. Tag Davante Adams. It would have been easy. I think the more difficult decision is to move on and get out of your comfort zone. And yesterday in the morning, I would have said he's coming back. But now, in my mind, I don't think he is, because he would have said it. So I'm pretty convinced that he's moving on. He's either going to retire or he's going to ask for a trade. And that was pretty clear by what he didn't say yesterday.
Now, so here's, look, I am the one who has repeatedly said Tom Brady could shut down all of this conversation about his coming back from retirement by just making a declarative statement. And that tends to be in keeping with Brady's personality. Is it, Mike? Could the counter argument to what you're saying just be, and we've sort of made it here, that this is kind of in keeping with Rodgers' personality, that dragging this thing out, that keeping everyone on bated breath, all the attention that it's generating, he seems to be enjoying that. Well, I don't even mean that as negatively as some have used it, but that maybe he just kind of likes dragging the drama of this thing out a little bit.
I understand that, Green, but yesterday he was clearly emoting, and it was love and admiration for teammates. I mean, you could tell that was authentic. And to me, it simply could have been like, let's go. Let's tag Davante Adams, and we're rolling. We're running it back. That would have been easy, quick, and clean. And I just think he's in a different frame of mind. And moving on from something, Greeny, which we've all done personally and professionally, is difficult to do. And I think that's where he is. And I think he understands there's a sense of urgency this year, unlike last year, because of all the consequential contracts that he'll impact. So I just think it's a different dynamic than last year, Greeny. And I'm really convinced that he's moving on.
So let me, he did have a lot of love coming out of him yesterday. He's had a lot of things coming out of him lately. I'll get to that in a minute. But Mike, let me ask you this quickly, because Graziano brought up at the very beginning of the show that this was, that he's the only one who's holding this thing up, that if he wants to make a decision quickly, there's nothing keeping him from doing it. How much actual impact on the Packers' planning is each day having right now? I guess what I'm asking you is, today is February 20, whatever it is. Is it already, the fact that they've waited this long, has it already and is it already impacting their ability to conduct their offseason based on waiting for him?
Absolutely, because there's one line in the sheet of paper, either he's here or he's not. Now, look, we're going to tag Davante Adams regardless if he's here. But from a quarterback standpoint, we got to know what's going on with Jimmy G, Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, looking at the draft differently with Malik Willis and the Picketts of the world. So to me, every moment is one that they need to know which plan they're going to execute, because how they attack all those other contract screening, be it Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, it's a different lens if Aaron Rodgers is there or not. So he absolutely is holding everything up.
I think, Dan, you sort of spoke for many voicing the frustration of that, that he sounds, what he's saying is, I'd like to move this along quickly, and what he's doing is not that.
Yeah, what he says doesn't match up with his actions. He says he wants to move it along quickly. It's been a month since they lost their playoff game. He says he loves his teammates. He's put them in a situation where their futures are in limbo because he won't make a decision on his. So, I mean, it's fun to listen to what Aaron Rodgers said, but it's not very worthwhile, because what he says is generally not true. So I think we have to see what he ultimately decides and when he ultimately decides it, and that'll tell us about his future, the Packers' future, and quite frankly, how much he cares about anybody but himself, which isn't very much.
Well, there are a lot of people that feel that way. Look, I don't think you're speaking on your own that way. What do you think of this, Canty?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had a year and a half to think about what he wants to do with his football future. This didn't just start after they played the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Greeny, I've been in the league over a decade,
right,
and it didn't take the Super Bowl being played for me to huddle up with everybody in my circle and figure out what was best for my football future. So it seems like he's welcoming all the attention while dragging this process out and putting the organization and his teammates in an adverse situation, because right now Green Bay doesn't know which direction they're going to go in terms of what the rest of their team is going to look like.
In fact, if you take him at his word, he didn't even watch the Super Bowl, because he spent the last 12 days, and the Super Bowl is less than 12 days ago, very much occupied. So I think it is worth just showing everybody what it is that he said and did. So he put up this Instagram post on Monday night, right? And we were all breathless talking about it and reacting to it yesterday, in which he expressed all of this love for his teammates, the icing on the beautiful cake that we call our job, football. I mean, that's quite some flowery writing there, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's some remarkable prose on his part. Well, he actually explained yesterday on the program why he was feeling all of these emotions and so much gratitude. And we thought that from a Meanwhile on Planet Earth standpoint, you should hear that.
There's nothing cryptic about gratitude. You know, I just came out of a 12-day cleanse where you're eating a specific diet and you're going through these treatments every day, and you're not really doing anything else. You got to kind of turn everything else off, and so, you know, you're not working out, you're not straining or anything. It's kind of a recentering, and it not only heals you physically, but I think it takes away mental stress, and then the spiritual part, I think it allows you to kind of enjoy the meditations a little bit more. So when I come out, my first thought is just intense gratitude for the people in my life.
So that's a good explanation. What he did was called the Pachacharma cleanse.
Oh, come
and on your screen right now, you're seeing, I understand you may be eating your breakfast, but these are all clinical terms. There's nothing on there that a doctor couldn't say to you. And this is what this cleanse was over the last 12 days. And it's worth pointing out just how unique and some might say extreme it is when you have severe spells of the things that he is purposefully having severe spells of. And so I don't really know how to react to it, but it did seem as though it was worth why are you looking at me?
That's disgusting.
why do you say that? It is
a lot of ancient stuff that's disgusting. There's a lot of ancient stuff people don't do anymore. Look, I understand you need to take extreme steps to cleanse yourself of the sting of losing to Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs twice in 3 years. I get that. But this to me seems, I don't know. I would not spend 12 days doing that and then come out and write an Instagram post. I would take a couple days.
You don't know that.
And send it to some editors and stuff.
Tannenbaum, this seems like it'd be right up your alley. After you do a 12-day Pachacharma cleanse, how do your emotions generally get affected?
You know, Hasselbeck broke that news yesterday. You know, usually Tim and I in the offseason go away, but in all seriousness, I think Chris just absolutely nailed it. There's absolutely nothing that Aaron Rodgers doesn't know on February 24th that he doesn't know a month ago. And we've gone from being, you know, respectful to, like, he's being selfish now because he's holding up not only the Green Bay Packers, but all these teammates that he allegedly cares about, the Preston Smith, the Za'Darius Smiths, the Billy Turners. Like, he knows what he's going to do, so let's go.
Now we're burying the lead here. The Pachacharma cleanse.
Let's go.
If you listen to my team, you understand why Aaron Rodgers needs the cleanse. He's full of it. Because everything that he says is not true. He says one thing, but yet he does another.
That is the perfect way to put the exclamation point on the conversation. All right, we have more to do here. By the way, our next NHL on ESPN matchup has Alex Ovechkin and the Caps at the Garden to take on Chris Kreider and the Rangers. That is Thursday, 7 Eastern. The Rangers also part of our ABC matinee. Saturday the 26th, taking on Sid Crosby and the Pens. In that one, our coverage starts 3 o'clock Eastern. That is on ABC. As we roll on, Rodgers, non-committal about his future yesterday. He knows what he wants for his buddy. How Devontae's move could affect Rodgers' time in Green Bay. That's on the way. Let's get up on ESPN.